podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, that's found on page 612 of your pew Bible. Ezekiel 33, we're going to be reading verses 30 to 32 in just a moment. So we come to the end of this series of messages that we have entitled, This is the Life. We began by talking about what it is that makes us, as human beings, sit back and say, this is the life. And for many of us, it's a different thing that we strive after, that happy place that each of us looks for. But we've been looking along the way at the fact that God saved us to live the abundant life, the overflowing life, that Jesus promised us that we could live a life that is beyond our wildest dreams and beyond our imagination here in this world right now and for all eternity. But in order to do that, in order to live that abundant life, you must cooperate with Him. And so the life, according to the world, is all about retirement accounts and 401ks and financial independence and vacations and trips to paradise and self-esteem and self-fulfillment and happiness and health and wealth. And so in the world's estimation, that is what the life is all about. And I don't want you to think that there's anything necessarily wrong with those things, because those things are good. And I appreciate those things in life. But while there may be a place for many of those things, if you are relying on them to bring you life, you are a fool. Because the Word of God clearly teaches us, and the experience of people throughout history clearly teaches us, that that is not where life is found. It's a black hole. It's an empty pursuit. It's chasing after the wind, and you will never arrive. No, the life, the true life that God has called for us to live is found in following after Him and growing in Him and being available to Him and serving Him. And that's where we find true satisfaction and self-fulfillment in this world and for eternity. Only Jesus can offer the abundant life. And we need to cooperate with Him. And we've talked about what that looks like, right? And some of the images that we've seen as we've gone along is that we are supposed to be soft clay, right, to the Master's touch. The potter can shape us into the form that He would have us to be. We are to be fertile soil, that when the Word of God lands upon us, that it takes root and it grows and it bears fruit. We are to be saints, set apart to God, to be holy as He is holy. We are to live our lives at full throttle, not cruise control, blending in with the crowd, but full throttle to win the race, to get the prize. We are to be butterflies who are free from the constraints of the cocoon, not desiring to go back to the larva state and to crawl around on our bellies in the sin of this world again, but to fly free from all of that. And so if we're still chasing after the things of this world to look for fulfillment and happiness, then we're fools. Well, this morning I want us to think about another image for just a moment, and that is the bugle call. So I want you to hear the bugle call this morning. Just listen to this for a moment. Let me hear it one more time, just in case they didn't hear it. All right, so that is the charge, okay? That bugle call is called the charge. And so when you hear that bugle call, what are you supposed to do? Right, right. You hear da-da-da-da-da-da, and you say, charge, right? That is what the bugle call is all about. Or there are different bugle calls for different occasions, but that is the bugle call for the charge. Now, what does a well-trained soldier do when he hears the bugle call that leads him to charge? He charges, right? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33, starting with verse 30. We'll read this passage of Scripture this morning. and hopefully it will enlighten us today. Starting with verse 30. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you, as they usually do, and they sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. When all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. So, it's clear to us that God has called Ezekiel to be a prophet and to preach his word. Now, for Ezekiel, during his day, that meant something different than what it means to preach God's word today. To preach God's word today, we open up our Bibles, we turn to a passage of Scripture, we talk about what God has to say through that to our lives. That's how we preach the word of God. In Ezekiel's day, he was a prophet. God gave him the words to speak, and he spoke those words to the people. So here we have Ezekiel. He preaches God's word, and the first thing that we notice is that news spreads. Right? It says here at the beginning of this passage, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses. See, the walls and the doors of the houses in those days was social networking. Right? That was social networking in those days. Leonard Sweet says we live in a TGIF world today. That's Twitter, Google, Instagram, and Facebook, in case you didn't know. That we are able to process and to put out information, and to share things instantly with the world around us. But in the days of Ezekiel, if you wanted to share the word, you would go by the city gate, or by the walls of the city, or in the doorway of your home, and have conversations. It wasn't that long ago in this community when people would meet on the front porch, and they would talk about all of the issues of the community and the world. That's what was going on here. But what were they talking about? What was the news that was spreading? It was the word of God. There's a commotion and a clamor that's being raised by Ezekiel's preaching. And people are saying, man, you need to hear this guy. You need to hear what this guy has to say. You've got to hear this Zeke preach, right? Hashtag Ezekiel, hashtag steps on my toes, right? And once the word gets around, what happens next? Well, the passage tells us that crowds swarm. My people come to you as they usually do. But I think since word is getting around, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. The crowds are beginning to swarm. God's people, my people, God says, Israel is coming to hear the message. They want to hear my word as spoken through my servant. To hear the message that's come from the Lord. So now Ezekiel is filling arenas, right? People are coming to hear him. He's on the radio. He's on TV. He's streaming live on YouTube at www.ezekiel.com. He's all over the world, Ezekiel is. People are excited. He's setting new records for church attendance. It's incredible. What happens next? What happens next? Well, let's not go to the but in the passage just yet. We're going to get there. All right. We're going to get to the but in the passage. But let's go on. Hearts begin to stir. Right? It's obvious that the people are moved by Ezekiel's preaching, because you don't talk to your neighbors about that preaching unless it touches you. Right? You don't leave on a Sunday morning and during the week go and talk to a friend, you should have heard what my pastor had to say this week, unless it's something that stirred you emotionally. So the hearts are stirring by Ezekiel's preaching. They are talking it up. They're fired up. They're singing hallelujah. They're crying out, amen. You can almost smell the sawdust on the floor, right? In the tent overhead. This is revival that's taking place. And the people are feeling it. And they're streaming down the aisles. And they're on fire for the Lord. You know, I had a friend growing up who never missed an altar call. You know, if there's a record for the number of times a person can get saved, this guy won the record. Because anytime he would come forward, you know, they would give him literature, they would give him Bibles, they would give him follow-up material. He got saved hundreds of times over the course of our childhood and into our teenage years. Some people just feel it. And in that moment, they are moved and they can't sit anymore. They get up and they go. Well, beyond their hearts stirring, Ezekiel's approval began to soar. Right? They didn't necessarily like what he was saying, but apparently there was a buzz, there was a stir. He's a rock star, right? Look at verse 31. It says, "My people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to hear your words." Skip down before we get to the but. Remember, we're saving the but for a moment from now. It's coming. Verse 32, "Indeed, to them you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and who plays an instrument well, for they hear your words." Now, don't go to the but yet, okay? They hear your words. You're like singing beautiful love songs, right? It's like they're going to a concert, and they are enriched by the beautiful sound of your voice and the words of God and the music and what it sounds like. And it's almost as if you're just a rock star that they've come to hear. So Ezekiel has created what so many preachers desire, right? He has a crowd of fired up people with hearts full of love who have heard the word of God. Now what? Now what? Well, now comes the but in the passage I was talking about. Verse 31 says, "My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice." Verse 32, "You are to them nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they have heard your words, but do not put them into practice." So what happens next is action stalls. Right? All of this lead, right? All this leading up, the news is spreading around, people are excited, it's going on social networking, the crowds are swarming, the hearts are stirring, everyone's getting emotional, they're coming forward during the altar call, the approval is soaring, there's crowds, it's building, it's growing, everyone's hearing the word of God, they're fired up, but what comes of it? Nothing. In the end, nothing. It's like they went to a concert on Saturday night. It was a great concert. They were stirred. It was beautiful. They went home. They went to bed. They woke up Sunday morning and looked at each other and said, "That was a great concert, wasn't it?" "Yeah, yeah." What do we do next? They were hearing the word, but they were not heeding the word. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. I shouldn't say nothing, because there is something that changes when this type of thing happens. We begin to develop calluses in our heart and in our emotions. Because we hear the word over and over again, we're stirred by the word over again, and you can only get your feet stomped on so many times before they become calloused and you don't feel it anymore. And that's what's happened. This is not the only place in Scripture where we find this idea, right? Darshan read one of them earlier, James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And then later on in James chapter 4, verse 17, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "The words of our Lord, not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." They're the ones who belong in the family of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." What's this passage of Scripture called? The Great Commission. Some of you know the Great Commission. "Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Don't miss that part where it says, what are we supposed to be doing in the church? Teaching one another to obey everything that the Lord has commanded us. Not teaching one another to hear everything that God has commanded us, but teaching to obey everything that God has commanded. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" See, that's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Right? You call him your Lord, but then you don't do what he says. Well, he's not your Lord. You're just calling him Lord if you're not doing what he says. Because if he's truly your Lord, then you will obey. Luke chapter 12, verse 47, the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. John chapter 13, verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. See, if you're not living the abundant life and you're not receiving the blessing in this life that you believe you deserve as a follower of him, maybe it's because you know these things, but you're not doing them. Because the blessing comes not in just knowing them, but in doing them. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who are declared righteous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. That's where we get our security from. We know that we are believers when we are keeping his commands. 1 John 3, 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who hears the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. Right? Wrong. Jack, you don't know how to read. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. So you see, and I could point to many more verses throughout Scripture, it's not about hearing, it's about doing. And so somewhere between D and E, there is a disconnect. But it doesn't stop there, because there's something worse that happens. And that is, in this passage of Scripture, their sin actually strengthens. Imagine that. After hearing the Word of God and being moved by it, their sin gets deeper. Verse 31, my people come to you as they usually do. They sit, they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. This was one of the problems they were dealing with in Israel during Ezekiel's day, is the greed of the people, right? They were falling deeper and deeper and deeper into this sin. So they were saying, great sermon, Zeke. Great sermon. We enjoyed it. You almost had me. You know, you almost had me there. Now let me get to work and make some money so I can feel secure about my life. Right? It's about going to bed on Sunday night with the word of the Lord resonating in your mind and in your ears and in your heart, and waking up on Monday morning and the sound's gone. It's back to business. Business as usual. So why the disconnect? Why is there a disconnect between the hearing and the heeding of the word? What happens along the way? What happens between Sunday morning and Monday morning? Is it brain damage? You know, what happens? Well, first of all, I wanted to tell you that it is not a word problem. There is no problem with the Bible. The word of God is clear. And what Ezekiel was preaching was good. It was not about the word. Right? His word is perfect. It will never return empty. It is not a problem with the word of God. Everything you need to live the abundant life is found in the word of God. It's not about the word. In this instance, it's not a preaching problem. Now, in some cases, it might be, right? Because we preachers are not perfect. But in this case, I do not believe it was a problem with the preaching. He was preaching the message from Yahweh, and the people knew it was the message from the Lord. They knew it was his message, because they were walking around saying, you got to hear the message that comes from God. They even said that in verse 30, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. They knew it was the Lord's message. So it wasn't a problem with the word. It wasn't a problem with the preacher. If what you are hearing is God's word, and honestly, you can go home and say, we heard the word of the Lord today, then it's not a problem with the word and it's not a problem with the preaching. In this case, it wasn't a hearing problem, right? Because they actually went and repeated. They repeated what Ezekiel was saying. It says, my people come, they sit, they hear these things, their mouths speak of love. So they heard the message, they processed the message. It's gone into their brain in such a way that they are able to repeat the message. And they speak about love. They've heard Ezekiel. It's not a hearing problem. And it's not an emotion problem either. I think they got chill bumps. They were thrilled. They clapped. They said amen. They called out hallelujah. They cried and their toes were stepped on and they came forward and they made commitments. I don't think that was the problem. The problem was not with their emotions. They even invited their friends. You know, that's one step further. You got to come hear this. They invited their friends. But hearing the Word of God and feeling the Word of God is not enough. You have to do the Word of God. Oh, hearing and feeling is good. We need to do those things. We need to experience the emotion of the Word. We need to hear the Word. We need to get excited about the Word. That's all good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. We need to tell our friends about the Word. We need to invite our friends to hear the preaching of the Word. None of this is wrong. However, if it doesn't lead to doing the Word, then there's a disconnect. Well, so what's the problem? What is the problem here? Well, first of all, I think it's a hypocrisy problem. You know what a hypocrite is, right? Everyone says churches are full of hypocrites, so you should know what a hypocrite is if you is one, right? A hypocrite is an actor. A hypocrite is a person who plays a role, right? Like, I'm not a real doctor, I just play one on TV. But a hypocrite is, you know, I say I'm a Christian, but look at my life. Am I living as a Christian? I say that I want to be Christ-like, but look at my life. Am I living like Jesus would live? So in church, sometimes we play the role of a hearer. And we get a wrinkled brow. And we get serious. And we come forward. But if it makes no difference in our lives, it's just a role we're playing. Because we're hypocrites. To keep coming and saying amen and hallelujah and agreeing and then seeing absolutely no change in our lives. We can't live the abundant life that way. The abundant life is lived by those who are hearing the Word of God and responding with action in their lives. Maybe it's a laziness problem. Maybe it's not a hypocrisy problem. For some, it may just be laziness, you know? We know how we should act. We know how we should obey. We've been sitting in Sunday school and sermons all of our life. We read our devotions, and we know the Word of God cover to cover. It's not a knowledge problem, but it's so much more comfortable for us to just keep living the same way. So much more comfortable to keep living the same way. The Word is a love song that has captured our heart, but we're too lazy to apply its life-giving principles. It's kind of like a dehydrated man who dies next to a spring. Right? He's laying there next to the spring, dehydrated, dying, and he says, "Look at that beautiful water flowing. Man, listen to the sound of that water. Wow, I bet that water would be refreshing. I bet that water would be life-giving. I bet it could change the game for me." But then does nothing. Doesn't cup his hands. Doesn't receive the water. Just dies next to the life-giving source. Steps from the source of life, but dies. It's a laziness problem. Or it could be an idolatry problem. That's what we see here in the book of Ezekiel. The people were greedy. They were involved in some sort of unjust gain where they were living off the misfortunes of others. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 22. If you want to turn back to Ezekiel 22 with me, I'll show you what Ezekiel was talking about, starting with verse 12. Ezekiel 22:12. Now he's talking to the nation, specifically the city of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 12, "In you are people who accept bribes to shed blood. You take interest and make a profit from the poor. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors, and you have forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made and at the blood you have shed in your midst." Verse 27, he repeats that thought. "Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. There was extortion going on in the city of Jerusalem. There was a huge difference between those who had and those who did not have. And those who had were using those who did not have for their own gain. And they didn't care that it was killing them. They didn't care that those who were in poverty were dying without, as long as they had what they needed, as long as they felt comfortable and secure in their wealth. And God calls them out on it in the book of Ezekiel and says, look, it's not about your wealth. It's not about your wealth. It's not about your greed. So when something else in your life, in this case it was greed, when something else in your life takes a higher priority to you than obeying God, and God gets his message across to you, and you grasp it, you understand it, you're moved by it, and you don't act on it because there is something else in your life that has higher priority that is keeping you from obeying him, that thing is an idol. It is an idol standing between you and God. In the case here in this passage, it was their greed, it was their wealth, it was their unjust gain. So play that bugle call for me one more time. Let's hear that one more time. All right, imagine hearing the bugle call, right? You are on the battlefield. You are dressed as a soldier. You have your weapon, and it is loaded and ready, right? You are crouched in the weeds, the cornfield. You are ready to jump up and to engage the enemy. You are going to do what all of your calling and all of your training has led you to do and to become. And the charge is played, right? The bugle call is heard. And you say, guys, did you hear that? Man, that bugler is good. Man, that trumpet call was clear, wasn't it? I bet you that guy could play some sweet jazz if he wanted to. That was a great bugle call. You know, that's the best one I've heard in a long time. You know what we should do? I mean, usually when you hear a bugle call like that, what you should do is we should probably start charging because that's what it tells us to do, right? So we should start charging. But you know what? It feels so nice here in this cornfield. It's comfortable. I don't want to get my uniform dirty. I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to get hurt. You know, so I know I heard the bugle call, and it thrills me, and it excites me, and I'm ready to go, and let's have at it, and it's beautiful, let's do it. But I think I'll just stay here for a while. An army like that will never succeed. Will never succeed. Now, there's nothing wrong with admiring and enjoying the bugle call, right? As you're charging. As you're charging, you say, wasn't that great? That's a great bugle call. Let's go, and then you charge. But if all you say is, wasn't that great? Didn't you enjoy that? Then the bugle call is not marching orders. It's just entertainment. Is the Word of God entertainment? Do we come to hear the message of the Lord week in and week out? For entertainment? Or is it our marching orders? Do we hear the Word of God, take it to heart, and then go out and live it to the best of our ability? I'm telling you that if you ever want to live the abundant life that God has promised, you need to not just hear His voice, but heed His voice. You need to come on Sunday morning as a heeder, looking for marching orders, not for entertainment. Now, I'm like any other preacher. I love it when someone walks out and says, Pastor Jack, I really enjoyed that message. However, if all we're doing in the church is gathering a crowd together to get excited and thrilled, to say hallelujah and amen at the Word of God, to spread the word about, man, you got to hear this, you got to come, you got to see this, But there's nothing happening as a result of what we're hearing, then something's wrong. So I just want to challenge you to think that through in your life, in your life. When you hear the bugle call of God's word, does it cause you to charge? Does it cause you to do what he's calling you to do? Or by the time Monday morning comes around, do you just look back on it as, well, that was a good day. That was a good day. That was a good message. Is it just entertainment, or is it our marching orders? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. Lord, we could not live without the source of life that we have in your word. How we thank you, Lord, for these words of life that if heard and then heeded can change the world. But Father, we confess to you that there are times, O Lord, when we are so busy just hearing, Lord, that we don't apply it. It doesn't become life for us. Lord, I pray that you might challenge us to come again to your cross for forgiveness for these sins of hypocrisy and laziness and idolatry that choke out the word's progress in our lives. Father, might you help us, Lord, to set those things aside, to hear your word afresh as if for the first time. And Lord, when the bugle sounds, to charge with our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.